Today with Joseph Prince.
In Psalms 51, where David said to God, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," because Jesus says the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. So we have something that they didn't have before. Amen? Something they never possessed. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And He abides with us for how long? Jesus said, forever. Forever. Amen? Forever is a long time, people. In the first Pentecost, when God gave the Ten Commandments, God demanded, "You shall not, you shall not, you shall not." But under grace, God says, "I will, I will. I'll be your God." Amen? "I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins, I will remember no more." Amen? Whereas here, God says, "I will remember your sins, to visit your sins, your iniquities to the third and fourth generation." But here God says, "I'll remember your sin no more." Amen? 3,000 people died when the Ten Commandments was given. Amen? The law was given. 3,000 people were saved when Paul preached. You know something, people, that we are living in a prophetic time. This year, our theme for the year is the year of Jubilee. So sit back. Once again, let me just remind you of the theme of the year before I come back and share with you something the Lord has put on my heart. It's going to bless you. Jubilee. Amen. Now remember, this Jubilee is not for the world. Okay? When we talk about all these things that God is showing us, God is not, the world is going to get worse and worse. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the peoples. Now, last week I stopped at Isaiah 59. Do you remember that? Let's show them Isaiah 59. Verse 20 says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your seed," according to the King James, all right, "nor from the mouth of your seed seed, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." And then we did a contrast when this was quoted by the Apostle Paul. All right, Paul quoted from the Septuagint because in this case, the Septuagint is inspired. Amen. The Greek version of the Greek interpretation of the Old Testament. Here it says, "So all Israel be safe as it is written." He's quoting Isaiah 59. "The deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." But in verse 21 of Isaiah 59, instead of saying, "My spirit is on you and my words in your mouth," Paul actually says, "By the Spirit, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." Very interesting. Amen. It is when God takes away your sins that the Holy Spirit can fill you. Have you ever thought about how clean, when you are made righteous, do you know that the Holy Spirit, the wonderful third person of the Godhead, can actually come and dwell in you, which He could not do in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, even the saints of God, the prophets of old, and the priests, all of them had the Holy Spirit coming on them for a certain task, for a certain, even like Samson, all right, the deliverers of Israel, they will have the Holy Spirit come on them for a certain task, but then after they finish the task, the Holy Spirit lives. And then they are very thirsty. They are like every other man. You know, they are desperate for water or something like that. But then the Holy Spirit comes and He leaves. He comes and He leaves. And that's why you and I cannot pray the prayer of David in Psalms 51, where David said to God, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Because Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. So we have something that they didn't have before. Amen? Something they never possessed. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And He abides with us for how long? Jesus said, forever. Forever. Amen? Forever is a long time, people. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit is now in us. And it's evidenced by praying in tongues. The first gift of the Holy Spirit in terms of all the nine gifts of the Spirit that manifested on the day of Pentecost. See, the first Pentecost was when God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, on Mount Sinai, and 3,000 people died. That's why the Bible says it like this in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God sent what? The Spirit. And this time, 3,000 people were saved. So in the first Pentecost, when God gave the Ten Commandments, God demanded, "You shall not, you shall not, you shall not." But under grace, God says, "I will, I will. I'll be your God." Amen. "I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins, I will remember no more." Amen. Whereas here, God says, "I will remember your sins, to visit your sins, your iniquities to the third and fourth generation." But here, God says, "I'll remember your sin no more." Amen. 3,000 people died when the Ten Commandments was given. Amen. The law was given. 3,000 people were saved when Paul preached. The fire was outside. The fire was the thunder, the earthquake, the rocks ran. And the Bible says, if one person touches the mountain, he will die. Don't even come near. That was the message of Mount Sinai. Don't even come near. Here, the Bible tells us, it's a new and living way. The more you come to God, the more it's a living way. The more you live. Hallelujah. See what happened just now? The more you come to God, the more you live. Amen. The farther you're away from God, the more you don't come from God, those days without God, it's almost like you're walking dead. Start with that. Amen. And when you are on Mount Zion, where God gave not the law but the Spirit, is no more a demand. Law demands, grace supplies. Law demands, grace supplies. The law kills, grace gives life. The Spirit gives life. That's why I love to preach. I think preachers got to move their pulpit from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. I think most of the time, it's not completely Mount Sinai, all right? Because no one really preaches pure law in Christendom. But what they do is that they have it in between. Don't know what mountain. It's a mixture of both. So they say that, I believe we are saved by grace and everything comes by grace, but we got to keep the moral law. The moral law, friend, is the Ten Commandments, which the Bible calls ministry of death, 2 Corinthians 3. Because the ceremonial law was never written or engraved on stones. And it tells us ministry of death engraved on stones. So very clearly, thank God we have the Holy Spirit now. Amen. And He's not there to point your faults, to point your sins. He's there to unveil Jesus, to take the things of mine, Jesus said, and show it to you. He has come to glorify one person, not even Himself. He has come to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? He's like the woman that God chose for Isaac, the beloved son. Do you remember the story? Two chapters before Isaac's bride was chosen, we have the story of Abraham. God said, "Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and offer him on a mountain." And you all know the story. Abraham had two sons, not just Isaac, but also Ishmael. Right? But why did God say, "Your only son, the son that you love"? Because God was thinking of his son. Are you listening? Plus that the eyes of God does not recognize what is born of the flesh. Then God says, offer him on Mount Moriah. Oh, God didn't say what mountain yet. It's Mount Moriah, but God says, I'll show you the mountain. And then before Abraham plunged his knife, God stopped him. And God says, now I know that you love me. because you have not withheld your son, your only son, so that you and I can tell God today, now I know you love me because you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Amen? Two chapters after that, we have Isaac. By the way, the story of Isaac happened on Mount Moriah where the temple was built later on. Amen? You still can go there today. You can't go to the mountain right on top where the temple was built. You can walk on the premise there, but you know where is it. But it's all made famous because of Abraham and Isaac. Amen? It's the hottest real estate in the entire earth today. Hottest. The most disputed. Now, when the Bible says they came down, it does not say Isaac came down. Very interesting. At the end of the chapter, Isaac was spared, right? Because Abraham looked back and God says, and God provided a ram. Every time you obey God on this side, you don't see your provision coming from the other side. But the ram was climbing up the mountain on the other side. And the ram got stuck by its horns because there's a meaning there, because God cannot accept if he got stuck by his fur. Most sheep get stuck. According to shepherds in Israel, they say that sheep get stuck because of their fur. They got caught by the briar and the thorns, and they can't extricate themselves. But to get stuck with your horn means you purposely go in to get stuck. He came knowing what he was coming for, to lay down his life for us. And then his body wasn't... You see, God cannot accept a lacerated body. If he got stuck by his fur, it's a blemish offering. God cannot accept a blemish offering. It'll be lacerated all over by the thorns and the briars. So God cannot accept a offering that is blemished. So that offering, only the horn was caught. It was unblemished, without spot. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus. And that's why many years after that, on the same mountain, the Pharisees challenged Jesus. And he says, you are not yet 50 years old. And you say you have seen Abraham? They missed the point. He did not say, I saw Abraham. He actually said, read carefully, Abraham saw me. That the less is blessed by the better. Abraham saw me. And then they said, you're not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham? He didn't say, right? But they twisted his words. And then he said this, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, they got worked up. They got riled up. They pick up stones to stone him, the Bible tells us, because they know the expression, I am. When Moses asked God, what is your name? They can tell the people of Israel your name. All right? God says, tell them, I am that I am. That was Jesus speaking in the burning bush. And here it says, before Abraham was, I am. Remember what he told them? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I used to wonder, where, how come Abraham rejoiced to see his day? And I believe on that mountain where Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, the same mountain that at the temple premise, when Abraham looked behind and saw the ram, Abraham also saw Jesus prophetically hanging on the cross. Because the highest peak of Mount Moriah, all right, if you go to Israel, you'll find the highest peak goes on Damascus Gate all the way up is Calvary. The highest point of Mount Moriah is Calvary. And Abraham looked behind, he saw the cross. So Jesus told the Pharisees, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. Amen. Two chapters after that, by the way, I was saying that when they came down the mountain, it does not say that Isaac came down. It's almost as if Isaac died already. And then the first mention of Rebekah, who will marry Isaac, the beloved son, was mentioned. Why? Because she represents the church. And two chapters after that, the father sent his trusted servant, unnamed servant, to find a bride for his son. What is that picture of? The Heavenly Father today, after Jesus has died 2,000 years ago. Amen. For all men, for their sins. Amen. Jesus has risen. But it's as if for the world did not see Jesus. The world say he's dead. They don't see his resurrection, but he's risen. Amen. Just like Isaac name was not mentioned at the end of chapter 22. But chapter 24, you find the father sending the servant to find for his beloved son a bride. And that's where we are right now. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. And that servant is the Holy Spirit, a picture of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And all the journey back with Rebecca, all the campfire with Rebecca's maidens beside her and his men who are there as guardians, bodyguards. Over the campfire, he would tell her stories about the beloved son. He would tell her how much the father loved this son, how much the father gave everything to this son, how much the father wants a bride for this son, and you are that bride. So that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And Rebecca, having never seen her potential husband yet, amen, at that time, loved him, just based on the ministry of the servant, telling her about. So the same way today, we have not seen him, whom having not seen, we love, the Bible says. Amen? We love him because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He makes him so real to us. Can I have a good amen? The Father loves you, you know. Some people have this idea that God wants to judge us. God wants to judge our sins. Jesus is kind. He's the Redeemer. He gave His life. No, friend, the Father sent the Son. The Father loves you. Jesus said like this, the Father Himself loves you. Many years ago, in 1937, in Oklahoma City, this was after the, you know, the days of the crash and all that. There was a man looking for a job, and finally he found a job. He found a job as at a railroad bridge. You know the railroad bridge? The train would pass by this bridge, okay? And it's over the Mississippi River. And this man's job is very simple. Simple in a way, but when you push a button, it's simple. But the responsibilities are amazing, all right? He has to just to manipulate a few levers, all right, and pull up. And the drawbridge with all the tons and the heavy, you know, tons of heavy equipment will all just be raised based on just one small lever. So this man was very happy. He found a job during those days. When men found it hard to get a job. His name was John Griffith. And one day, John has a boy that he loves very much. His boy was 8 years old at that time. And one day he decided to bring his boy to work to show his boy the Mississippi River and to show the boats that would come through. Because as the drawbridge goes up, ships can go through, barges can go through. So they packed lunch. He loved his boy. He packed his boy's lunch. And brought the boy to work. During lunchtime, they sat on a special viewing deck. And he started telling the boy about every batch, every ship that came in. You know, he started telling the boy the story of that ship, where it's been. The boy was thrilled. His eyes were big. You know, he was excited. He was so proud of his father. He thinks that his father is the best in the whole world. Now, all of a sudden, this man heard, as they were eating their lunch, he heard far away that there was, they heard the you know, the chugging of the funnel of the train. Okay? The train was coming. So look at his watch. He loved his son so much. You know, I know what it's like. When you spend time with someone you love, time just flies. He realized that he has to go back, all right, and pull up. No problem. He still has time, right? He heard that whistle far away, and he told his boy, you stay here, I'm going there, all right, I'm going to do this. So he stayed here. He went all the way there. Then, as his custom is, he's still on time. He looked at everything else. He looked at the river, the Mississippi River, to make sure there's no barges coming at the wrong time, no ships, no boats. And then he looked down, all right, to make sure no one is on the track. And then he looked down where the drawbridge would come down to, where all the gears were, right? Just now only he showed his boy all those huge gears, you know. And he was shocked what he saw. He was stunned. He was horrified by it because he saw his boy has fallen among the gears. And he could see that his foot was bleeding. See, what happened was that the boy got frightened sitting at the viewing deck. When the father told him to stay there, he actually followed his father. The father didn't know. He tried to find the path to his father. He lost the path. He fell into the gear. Now, the train was coming. So straight away, John Griffith was thinking, all right, maybe I can rush all the way there, lower myself, you know, through a rope and get my boy back up. Then he realized, well, there won't be enough time. Okay? Because right now, he knew that the drawbridge was up. The bridge was up, which means what? The train will plunge. And there were 400 passengers in this Memphis Express. It's called the Memphis Express. And it was coming. And in no time, he can't do both. What does he do? 400 people in this train. And the boy is down there, where the gear would, you know, where the drawbridge would fall. And he heard the boy screaming, crying for his dad. He made a last-minute decision. He cannot do both. Will he kill 400 people whom he doesn't know and maybe give the excuse that they came too early, they didn't see the sign that says the drawbridge was up, they should have stopped? He can give a lot of excuses and save his boy, or kill his boy and save 400 people whom he doesn't know. He made that awful decision. He closed his eyes with his left hand, weeping all the while, and with his right hand, he pulled the lever. He couldn't hear his boy anymore. The drawbridge went down. And what was amazing was that he was in the position where tears was falling down and the train would pass him by. And as the train passed by, he still remembers the faces of the 400 people, that some of them, ladies, were having their afternoon tea, talking. Children were playing as the coaches passed by. He could see them playing. And there was a conductor who was looking at his watch. There was a man reading newspaper. Nobody knew what happened. He felt like, don't you care? I just killed my son for you, that you might live. And it's the same when you look at the world. You think about the father heart of God. The world acts like they have not been loved. They have not been given the greatest sacrifice. But it's our responsibility to tell them the good news, to tell them that God loves them. Because the average person out there still think God is out to get them. Right? We got to tell them God loves them and what a price God paid. So it was a father who sent a son. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love the last part of Genesis 24. When finally, she was on a camel, Rebecca. She saw Isaac in the field. Amen. The Bible says she lit off her camel. Now, that wasn't her smoking a cigarette. The Bible says in the King James, she lit off her camel. She got off a camel. But in the Hebrew, it's very beautiful. And the rabbis love to talk about this. Right? How she fell off her camel. When she saw him, she fell off her camel. I loved it. And you know who helped? Who held on to her? The rabbis love to talk about this. It was Isaac. Hey, that beats any Korean drama, huh? Amen? So I see that as a picture of when Jesus comes again. And by the way, now she has nose rings, gold nose rings, all kinds of... She was made wealthy by Abraham's servant. You can read the story. It's the longest chapter of the entire book of Genesis. Why is it the longest chapter of the entire book of Genesis? Because 2,000 years, God has been preparing a bride for His Son. Amen. And it, to God, the mystery of the church is something very dear to His heart. And all of you are part of it. Amen. We are in this world, but not of the world. We belong to the greatest organization the whole universe has ever seen. Amen. And angels and principalities and powers and demons and spiritual wickedness and high places, they can only behold what a masterpiece it is. Amen. So falling off her feet, what is that? The rapture. We'll see Jesus in the rapture. He will sweep us off our feet. Hey, your heavenly bridegroom will literally sweep you off your feet. How about that? How about looking into the face of someone who has no blemish? I feel so conscious right now because all of you are looking at me. So it's a wonderful time to say, when you look at Jesus, can you imagine for the first time you see someone whose face has no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle, nothing? Can you imagine that? He's altogether lovely. Don't talk about his physical being. Talk about his character. Everything that you love, you say, Pastor, I love my son. I love my son. He's so adorable. He does this, he does that. Well, you know something? Your son came from him, from the Lord Jesus. By him, all things were made. He planted the son. He planted his personality, all right, the way he wanted it to be, in your wife's womb. Amen? Amen? If whatever you love on earth, any human being you love, the characteristic and all that, all came from him, because the greater encompasses the lesser. Your son, your lover, the one that you care for, the one that you, your husband, your whatever characteristic you love is only a little faint a description of the one who is altogether lovely. Amen. Amen? How Jesus is full of majesty, yet so kind and so humble, yet his humility is not the kind of like servile, you know, like a slave. Yes, he's a servant, but yet there's a majesty. There is something that even they say that no one is a hero to his valet, which means in those days, your valet takes care of your horse and everything. He sees everything about you. So whether you're a famous hero in the battlefield and all that, okay, you're a famous person, you're not a hero to your valet because they see you all kinds of things they see about you, right? So the expression, no one is a hero to his valet, but to his disciples who live with him day in, day out, they see everything, all right? Yet, at the end of that 3 years, 3.5 years, they were afraid to ask him some questions. They were afraid to discuss some things that they discussed among themselves, to tell him. They respected him. There was an honor. You know, under close scrutiny, he lived up to it. Amen? He could speak two words, follow me, and strong, rough, uncouth men, fishermen, could leave everything they have and follow him. Just two words that the U.S. Marines have copied, follow me. And strong men leave everything and followed him. How do you think he spoke? Would you like to follow me? You might consider installment basis. Follow me. And they left everything. What a man. How do I describe this man? How can I describe this man? His prayers are all short prayers. It's not like the prayers of the religious people who they love. In fact, Jesus condemned long prayers. You never find he condemned short prayers. He says the Pharisees pray long prayers to be seen of men. But his prayer, the most powerful miracle I think we can all agree on, will be Lazarus being raised from the dead after being dead 4 days. Right? And in English, he only spoke three words. Lazarus, come forth. In Hebrew or Aramaic, Eliezer, Kumi. Two words. He had to mention Lazarus because a lot of dead people were there. If he just said, come forth, everybody would come forth. So he specifically mentioned Lazarus. And what a man. He could weep and still be strong. He could weep and still do a miracle. He was angry. Some people think that being a Christian, you don't get angry at all. All right? He was angry when he saw the Pharisees and there was a man whose hand was withered. And look, especially who is the doctor, and he was a Gentile. The only Gentile who penned the Bible, okay? Of course, they are all secretaries of God. The Holy Spirit is the one. But the only Gentile was Luke. And Luke was a doctor. And when Luke wrote, Luke says it was the right hand of the man who was withered. And right hand means what? Your livelihood. He could not work. Jesus called him. But then the Pharisee says, there are 6 days, you know, you should come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. And Jesus was angry at the hardness of their hearts. It was an anger because he loved them. And he could see that they were so blinded. They could not see God's love. They are into religion, but they're not into relationship. They don't realize how much God loves them and how he wants to heal this man. He was angry at injustice. Are we angry? Oh, as a Christian, I'm not angry. No, you're too soft. Don't excuse yourself by saying you're a Christian. Are you angry at injustice? Jesus was. And there's no sin in his anger. Most of the time we are angry selfishly, I know. Amen? Isn't God good? Just sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit today. And I just want you to know the Father loves you. Jesus said it like this, the Father himself loves you. Now, back to Isaiah. That was good. Isaiah 59 ends, the entire chapter ends with verse 21. But look at what happens when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues and the words are in your mouth. By the way, praying in tongues only can happen under grace. Therefore, they had the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, all right, in the Old Testament. But the only gift of the Holy Spirit that was not manifested in the Old Testament was praying in tongues. It was a unique gift for grace dispensation, for the grace. So that tells us something about praying in tongues. You cannot pray in tongues and be legalistic. Your prayer in tongues is prayer of grace. It's a tongue of grace. It's a spirit of grace. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Therefore, when you pray in tongues, something happens in the next chapter. In fact, in the original scroll, there is no chapter. Just go to the Dead Sea Scrolls in Jerusalem and see the Isaiah scroll that was recorded down 2,000 years ago, word for word. And Isaiah scroll is there, and you'll find there are no chapters. But let me just tell you this. Men put chapters, so we put the verses together. If you speak in the Spirit, if you speak in tongues, amen, something happens to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. And then there are those who say, well, this promise, Isaiah 60 verse 1 here, is only for the millennium. Well, keep on reading. All right, look at Isaiah 1. Arise, shine, your light has come. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. During the millennium, there's no darkness. Everything is bright. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no sickness, there's no disease during the millennium. Amen. So here it says, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. I believe this is something spiritual, something oppressive, something heavy. Darkness covers the earth. Everything you see around you, there's darkness. And it seems like the more educated people are, the worse they become morally. Amen. And the more they know about science, the more they use it for destruction. Amen. Now, I know there are a lot of good things going on, but the good is not being heard. So here we go. Darkness is covering the earth, deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise over you. You here is his people. The Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. So when these things happen, rejoice. We are in the year of Jubilee. Amen. 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 Not for the world, for us. So when will the Lord arise on us and his glory be seen upon you? When darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. That's the time you rejoice. These are signs to us that God is going to do great things, that the blessings on us, the glory on us will so shine that the world will see it. Amen. And the world will see the only answer they have is in the church of Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? In fact, you go on reading verse 3 all the way down. Gentiles will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. There'll be salvation. Your sons will come from afar. Fathers, mothers, dry your tears. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters, I don't care if they are backslidden. I don't care how far they are. They're not safe or whatever. They will come, the Lord says, during this time of revival, during this time of God's outpouring of his glory upon his people. And then verse 5 says, not only that, all right, you will see and become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy. I love this expression. I wish I have time to go through this. Your heart shall swell with joy expression. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles. Other translation says the goyim is nations. The wealth of the nations will come to you. So there'll be financial provision as well in these days. James says that you have heaped treasure to the people that are wicked, the people that are holding back, you know, the salaries and the wages of people and all that. James says, you have heaped treasure for the last days. And the last days, God says, God gives to the working wicked or sinner to gather and to heap up and then to give to the one who is good in his eyes. There's going to be a transfer of wealth to God's people. Jesus himself was asked the question in Matthew 24. Jesus was asked, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, this one, the longest discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we think that, you know, it's up to us whether we believe in Bible prophecy or not. It was one of the longest, besides Sermon on the Mount, one of the longest, I should put it this way. It was one of the longest answers to a question. The Lord must really want us to know this. So the question came. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. A few, just 40 years after he said this, the Roman legion came and they tore down the temple. They burned the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. Today you go to Israel, you can see those stones at the bottom. Not one stone left. There's not one stone left. The Temple Mount is flat. Nothing left. The buildings there are later buildings. Nothing original from the temple is there on the Temple Mount. It's all at the bottom. Not all of them, only a few at the bottom. See? Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that Titus, the general Titus who commanded the legions of the Roman military to besiege Israel, actually gave a specific commandment to his men, to his captains and all that, do not destroy the temple. In other words, do not overthrow the stones, right? But Josephus says there was a rampage. People go crazy like a riot. The soldiers all saw the wealth of the temple, and when the top part of the gold, the pillars and all that, started melting, the gold in the temple started melting. It went between the stones. So they overthrew the stone to get to the gold. General Titus was the son of the emperor. He said, don't overthrow the stone. The son, in the natural, you see, like a son of a carpenter, sat on the olive, Mount Olive, and say, not one stone will be left upon another. Who was right? Every word you can trust. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then, go on, drop down. Now, as he sat on Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? All right? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Three questions. When will these things be when the stones are overthrown, the temple? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? Not the rapture. They do not know about the rapture. The first time the rapture was mentioned will be by the end of this week. This is the last week, by the way, before Jesus was crucified. At the end of the week, they'll be on Mount Zion, the highest part of Mount Zion, the upper room. Is so beautiful to see the typology there. All right. And then Jesus will tell them, in my Father's house are many mansions. I will go and prepare a place for you. When I prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the rapture. Then God showed Paul, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a twinkling, in a moment. All right. In a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, we shall all be transformed, and our bodies that are corrupted will put on incorruptible body. Amen. You're listening, people. And then Jesus says, now, the question is asked, right? When will these things be? The sign of your coming, the coming is second coming, not the rapture. The rapture, he comes for his bride. Amen. But his coming, second coming, is for Israel, the nation of Israel. They'll go through a lot. So he will answer the first question first, amen. And then, when will these things be? He will tell them, take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And he goes on to say, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we hearing that now? Amen. He's talking about our times. And then after that, from verse 9 onwards, he talks to the Jews that will leave after we are raptured. Amen. By the expression, you. We know it's the Jews because many people get scared when they see all these things because they think that it's talking to Christians. It's not talking to Christians, it's talking to Jews. Because Jewish disciples were asking him about the temple. His answer was an answer to the Jew. Of course, we can learn from it. Of course, it's also for us. Amen. But primarily, it's for the Jewish believers that will be saved during the Antichrist's reign on this earth. When we are raptured, the worst will happen. Are you listening? Amen. There'll be a revived Roman Empire, and that's another message altogether. But here, listen carefully. He says, you see, look at the nature of the signs. He will tell you, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath days. How do we pray that? Right? Flee to the mountains. For us in Singapore, we flee to Mount Faber. It's not really a mountain. All right? So listen, people. It's not talking about us. It's talking about Sabbath, the mountains of Petra in Jordan. He's telling them, flee. When you see the armies of Rome come, all right, it's a prophecy. He's by the way, Josephus says not a single Christian died during Rome's attack. Because they took heed to what Jesus said. And when they saw the Roman army coming in, all right, the Roman actually gave them a chance to go, to leave. But there were those who stayed to fight. But every believer left. They remember what Jesus said. And they went to the area of Jordan, Petra. So Jesus says, now to our times, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. I don't know why we don't take what he says. See that you're not troubled, he says. Don't be troubled. Amen. When these things happen in the world, don't be troubled. In fact, we find a reason to rejoice when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness covers the people. Amen. God says, you can rejoice. I'm rising upon you. The glory of God will be seen on you and seen by Gentiles, unbelievers. Amen. And then it says, see that you're not troubled. Another translation says, see that you're not fearful. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So that those say, well, nation against nation and all. Pastor Prince, we're in the end times. The end is not yet. Read what he says. But these things will happen, yes. There might be a World War III, we do not know. We might live to see it before the rapture, or the rapture will happen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there'll be famines, pestilences, plagues, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end time. It's the beginning. We might see these things, and we are seeing these things, actually. Amen. We are going towards the end, people. And the word sorrows here, these are the beginning of sorrows. In the Greek, is the word labor pain. A woman going through travail pain. I don't like to use the word pain. Birth pangs, labor pangs. Amen. Because women are redeemed from the curse. Amen. Women are redeemed from the pain and the curse. The curse is not bearing children. Hey, long before Adam fell, God said, be fruitful and multiply. The curse was in pain you will bring forth children. That was the curse. But Christ took the curse upon himself on the cross. So women are redeemed from birth pains, labor pains. Believe God for that. Amen. Receive that in Jesus' name. So all these are beginning of sorrows, birth, labor, pangs. And what he's saying literally is that when you see all these things happening, there's going to be a new world coming. Amen? Where the sun will reign. But it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And but before the worst happens, it's called the seven year of God's, the day of God's wrath is 7 years. We cannot be around because we are not appointed to wrath, the Bible says, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a day of God's wrath. So we are not around. We are raptured. Now, if you believe in mid-trip, you believe in post-trip, help yourself. I'm taking the first train. Amen? How about the rest of you? In fact, when you go up there, we'll clear our doctrine. I'll just hold your hand and say, now you believe? And all those who come against grace, now you know? Because I'll tell you this, all right? No one is worthy of themselves. You know, some people say, you got to be ready for the rapture. You got to be ready. You got to be extra holy. You know, almost like you got to qualify for the rapture. No, the rapture is by grace, okay? Let me just tell you this. It's our bodily redemption paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's just our final purchase of possession, our bodily possession. That's all. You didn't get saved by this in the spirit, spiritually. You didn't get saved in the spirit by grace and then get saved in your body by your works. No. The rapture is nothing more than your body getting saved. We have a body that will never grow old, never have a wrinkle anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And a body that will never suffer disease anymore. No more endoscopy, no more colonoscopy, no more looking into things that other people should not be looking at, where the sun never shines and all that. All these things will be gone. Hallelujah. We'll have a body that is glorified, a body that is, it's still a body. We're not floating like Casper the ghost, you know. I'm not floating into your room. I'm not floating into that, you know. But all of us, praise God. Somebody please tell Pastor Mark there is hope. Amen. That's what we are looking for. So now is the labor pangs. And from what I understand, correct me, ladies, as the baby is about to come, all right, the contractions get closer and closer, closer and closer. I don't know if you noticed something or not. There's an eclipse. There's a hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. There's all kinds of crazy things like rumors of wars, and then wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, all right? Earthquakes. Do you think earthquakes are getting more and more often? Lately? Big ones? Rapture can happen anytime. Now, why year of Jubilee? I'll tell you why, okay? God says, these are the feast days. In Leviticus 23, you'll find all the seven feasts of Israel. Jesus literally died on the Feast of Passover. 3 days later is the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus rose on the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days after is the Pentecost. God sent the Spirit when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And now we are waiting for a few months before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah happened, which is the new year of the Israel. All right, the new year actually happened just a few days ago. Do you know that Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. was the Rosh Hashanah, the brand new year, all the way to Friday, 6 p.m. is the Rosh Hashanah. So watch this, Rosh Hashanah in the year of Jubilee for us. But their new year actually began, all right? It's okay, let me tell you this. God works also with our calendar, Gregorian calendar. Watch this. After 2,000 years, Jesus said this. In Luke's account of this narration, all right, I just gave you Matthew, but in Luke's account, Jesus actually said that Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles. From AD 70, what Jesus prophesied when the Romans were coming, they are Gentiles, non-Jews. So Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles. Listen. Until the times of Gentiles are fulfilled. So from AD 70 all the way, Romans, the Byzantine, all the way to the Mamluks, all the way down until the Turks, the Turkish rule. And then finally, General Allenby, 1917, December 11, march in without firing a shot. And Jerusalem was liberated. Listen, the call was made. General Allenby believed in Bible prophecy. The call was made for the people of the land to come back, the Jewish people. But many of them were very comfortable in Europe. They were comfortable. Imagine if they had come back. They wouldn't have to go through what Hitler brought them through. Okay? The call was made. Now, watch this. 1917. Isn't much to look at, I mean, in terms of Israel at that time. So I guess I understand in the natural. But nonetheless, if they knew Bible prophecy, they would rush to go back. So God gave them a chance in 1917, which I believe was a Jubilee year. Now watch this. 50 years is Jubilee, right? Every 50 years is Jubilee. We have 50 years after 1917. What happened? 67. 1967 is a six-day war when Israel, after 2,000 years of Jerusalem being under the foot since AD 70, in the six-day war, and there's no parallel for six-day war in any military history except for Joshua and the walls of Jericho. 6 days they went around the whole thing, and the seventh it was theirs. Six-day war, the seventh, Jerusalem fell back into the hands of the Jews after 2,000 years. Jesus said this would happen. And yet they can't fully possess it. Why? Because you can only possess it when you know the righteousness by faith. Because they have rejected the Lord Jesus as a nation. The day will come when all Israel will be saved. Amen? Are you listening, people? Now watch this. 50 years, 1967. Now number another 50. You come to 20. Whoa! 2017, did you say? This year. Now you got no excuse. You should not have attended New Creation Church. Amen? Now you know. We are in the prophetic year. Something is happening. We're seeing a lot of birth pangs happening, travail pangs happening. Amen. Now watch this. This year, when was Rosh Hashanah? Just a few days ago. Now, I didn't know this until last Sunday. Someone told me that Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement, is actually on the day, my first day of preaching in Germany. Now, you must understand, I didn't think about the Martin Luther 500-year Reformation. That was not in my mind. I did not arrange for the dates. They arranged for it. They arranged my first day of preaching will be on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Now, why is that important? Because, show them Leviticus 25, you shall cause the trumpet. When is Jubilee sounded? When is Jubilee for Israel? Back then, it was sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, Jewish calendar. On the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, you will make the trumpet to sound. Which is exactly the day, all right? I'm excited about me preaching, you know. I just found out about it last Sunday. God is my witness. I only knew about it last Sunday. So I'm preaching evening exactly at 6 p.m. They celebrate Yom Kippur in Jerusalem. I'm in Germany. I'm starting to preach. And it's the 500th year of Martin Luther's Reformation. They are celebrating that as a nation because Martin Luther is German. And he's the one that preached grace like no other person did. Back then, God gave him the revelation, the righteous shall live by faith, or the righteous by faith shall live. Amen. You're not justified by works of the law, by penance, by all that. Amen. If you watch Martin Luther's story, there are some movies online you can watch, you know, for free. Amen. But there are some great ones. Like, for example, he was a professor of the original language. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. So one day he was so beset by... My time is up. I need to release you. Okay. Let me just tell you this. It's exciting times we are living in. And we are at the moment where the trumpet is about to sound. And when the trumpet sounds, amen, it just so happens that the trumpet of Jubilee does not sound on Rosh Hashanah, does not sound on Pentecost, it sounds on the Day of Atonement, which is this coming Friday. And I'm at a place where exactly the timing of Israel is. I don't think it's by chance. I feel very humbled. I feel very small, feeling like, wow, why would God pick a boy from Singapore who used to live in Clementi to go to Germany, amen, to preach this gospel? I'm always touched. I told my wife the other day, you know, there are testimonies coming from China and other places of drug addicts and all that, and how, you know, they were stoned. One day we'll share this testimony. And Pastor Mark was the one that was there recently, came back. How they were stoned watching TV. And there's so many channels in China. China is huge. And then he dropped his remote because he was stoned on drugs and all that. And alcoholic as well. The remote fell and turned to the channel and I was preaching. Now, in China, when I preach, there are subtitles. All right? There was a turning point. He got saved. He got delivered. Today, he and his wife are serving the Lord in the church. I'm humbled when I see this kind of thing. Why would God want to choose my channel? There are so many other channels to choose from. There are many other good ministers. Amen. There's another person in America who was stone drunk and addicted as well. Okay? And this is from my book, chapter 6, Glorious Grace. All right? That devotional. And he was watching television and he flipping. Then he came to my channel, stone. And then he doesn't want to listen to this kind of preaching, right? He tried to change his channel. He cannot change. And he got delivered. He got saved. He got delivered. Amen? And I'm humble. What does God see in the preaching? I'm full of faults. I'm not perfect. Be praying for me. Amen? And yet God has seen fit to find this tiny red dot nation to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friend, I think God wants the world to hear about the Father's love. There's so many messages. You know, don't get confused on the internet. Don't get confused and don't get frightened. If there's fear and there's worry and all that, you're, get the book. Live the let go life. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm convinced it's going to be a book when you read, it'll be a word wash. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You start reading and I'm telling you, I read my own stuff. And I start reading, I'm saying, my goodness, I forgot about this. I forgot about that. Wow. And it's such a refreshing. My favorite is the one chapter called Stand Still, How Jesus Sweat Blood. And another chapter called Peace in Your Conscience. Unless you have peace in your conscience, you cannot let go your worries. Amen. Whenever you are beset by worries and cares, instead of spending time on the internet, go to the book. Give yourself a chapter a day. Amen. You'll find you'll wash yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone gets spiritual and say, well, Pastor Prince, you know, I just read the Bible. Then what did God give teachers? God has seen fit, amen, that many a times the word of God is broken down in bite size, in understandable fashion by the people that he has put, and it's a ministry gift. Are you listening, people? But when you read, listen to the anointing. When you read anything, even my stuff, if it doesn't bear witness, it brings fear and all that, it's not God. But if you see the scripture, I'm giving you scripture, I'm just a Bible teacher opening up, and God ordained teachers in the body of Christ. So don't be proud. In fact, reading the Bible straight can be a form of pride. I hear no man but myself and get all kind of weird ideas. You spend so much time, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Amen. You know, you start a new blog site called Prophet So-and-So, whatever it is. And all because you read the Bible yourself. No, God has ordained people in the body of Christ. So be humble. Amen? Amen? Live the let-go life. Praise God. Give Jesus the praise because of time. We have to end here. Amen. So church, be looking up. We are living in wonderful seasons. Good for the church, bad for the world. The world will get worse and worse and worse. You know? And I really think that there's really hope found only in the body of Christ. Look up here. As long the church of Jesus Christ is still here, the corruption and the evil cannot get so bad. Cannot. That's why they hate us. They think that we are hindering their progressive movement, when actually they are regressing to the book of Genesis. It's the same old. All right? So we are the salt that is holding back the corruption. We are the light lightening up the darkness. But the moment the rapture happens, can you see why the worst will happen? Why do you think the Antichrist probably is still alive, probably is a man now, a grown man, but why can't he manifest himself? Because you jokers are still around. Praise God. Amen. You are the salt. You are the light. You will know who to pray against. So he cannot manifest until the rapture happens. Then he will manifest. Amen. I better stop here, right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Give Jesus the praise. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Remember, the Father loves you. The Father himself loves you. Whenever you feel alone, you feel afraid, remember this. He counts the numbers of hair on your head. He loves you. He cares for you. And I want you to know that this same God who loves you and cares for you, if you do not know him yet, today he has brought you here that you might be safe. Today you are watching this because he wants you safe, loved, blessed. If that is you, just pray this prayer with me. I'll help you pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening my eyes to your love. How much you have loved me and how I've not known it, Lord. I've lived my life as if you have not sacrificed your son. But I thank you for your great love for me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross for all my sins. And I thank you, the blood of Jesus washes me clean. And you raised him from the dead, having conquered death. Death has no more sting. The grave has no more victory. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking forward to the coming of my Jesus for me. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands all across this place. I'm going to bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you this coming week, you and your children. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Father Abraham, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, blessings of the womb, blessings coming in, blessings going out, blessings, even in your struggles, in your trials. Your enemies come against you one way, flee before you seven ways. The Lord bless you by making you the head and not the tail. The Lord bless you, you shall be above only and not beneath. The Lord bless you that you have victory over your trials. You have victory over all the attacks of the enemy. The Lord bless you with strength and power. The Lord bless you with revelation and wisdom. The Lord bless you with protection for you and your families throughout this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Be Father conscious, be love conscious that God loves you. God bless you.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Want to experience meaningful change in your life? Today, get Joseph's 4-CD album, True Transformation God's Way, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2022 wall calendar. Find out how true change in your life comes effortlessly when you look to Jesus and all that He has done for you on the cross.
The amazing thing is this, people don't realize transformation is not their effort. But when you see Jesus as He really is, you become like Him.
And for a specific gift, you will receive the Grace to Grace package, which includes a specially curated resource kit just for you. Dive deeper into the life-changing truths about the power of right believing and experience freedom from every guilt and fear.
Obedience to the faith means right believing. To the faith. Believe right and you will live right.
Don't miss out on these powerful resources. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
As you worship the Lord, God fights your battles. Worship in Greek is proskuneo. Pros is to come close. Kuneo, kiss. When we worship God, we are coming close to God to kiss.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at graceravonline.com.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.